podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there and welcome to podcast number 26 from the XFM Breakfast Show with myself, Danny Wallace. On today's podcast, Nicolas Cage swings by, Noel Fielding pops in, Matt doesn't know how to react when Liam Neeson tells him a joke, there's an unfortunate moment during Quizface, Magic Asparagus, and Swedish Religious Techno. Get stuck in.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
With Mini. Makes sense. To see why, search Mini Offers.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah. This is good. Techno Church, Matt. A techno church has brought ravers flocking. A Swedish church is attracting a younger congregation by staging services featuring techno music.
Wow.
Very specifically techno music. The services at Stockholm's All Saints Church were the idea of a vicar called Ole Edestrom. And he sees them as a way of, attracting younger people, boosting dwindling congregations. It's sort of based on a traditional mass, but they replace all the hymns with specially written modern dance tunes.
What?
There is nothing better, I think, than Swedish religious techno.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
In HMV, if you go in HMV, head straight to the Swedish religious techno section.
It's a great little subgenre, isn't it? Eddie plays a lot on the remix.
Is that right? Doing that more and more, isn't he? All these kids just off their faces on church wine.
Yeah.
Spinning around, popping communion biscuits like there's no tomorrow. A couple of priests in lycra in cages 15 feet in the air, I imagine. Dancing.
Yeah.
Glow stick crucifixes.
Yes, of course.
It's the Ministry of Sound. They all go out to heaven afterwards, don't they? Though, ironically, the church would disapprove of that.
Yes.
For various reasons.
Oh, that's good. You've prepared well this morning.
Thanks very much. Just looking at the papers here. Looking at the papers.
XFM.
Nicolas Cage is on the show tomorrow, Matt. And here's what we want to do. You know, I do snap my pitch up with various A-list stars. They come in and I pitch various vehicles that I would like to produce for them. I haven't really got time today. It's a very busy day. I want to do it properly. But then I thought, we have got the greatest listeners that the country's ever known. Perhaps they've got certain ideas for vehicles, star vehicles, that Nicolas Cage could star in. And then I would pitch one of them tomorrow to Nicolas Cage, along with a couple of my own. You know, I think that's a decent idea.
Yeah, it'd be good, because he's like the biggest guest that we've ever had on the show.
He's a big old guest, and he's in here live, you know, tomorrow. Yeah. So why don't we do some Snap My Pitches up in the studio?
Snap My Pitch Up.
Matt, what do you have for the film star Nicolas Cage?
Nick Cage, Spit Rage.
Oh!
The film star goes around admonishing young teenagers seen gobbing on the floor.
Oh, great. In suburban town centres,
yes,
etc. We'd
hanging
start maybe
outside shops.
Peterborough, Stevenage.
Yeah, that's the sort of place. Middle England.
A group of youths outside Millets.
Middle England, Lidl's and Spas.
Perfect.
Kind of place.
Well, I'm in. What you got?
Nicolassie Cage.
Oh.
Nick spends a year with famous TV pooch Lassie.
Yeah.
Within these 12 months, he must train the dog up to enter and win Crufts 2012, whilst also having to save the world against other various enemies once every 3 weeks.
That sounds terrific. I've got Nicolas Cage Fighters, a futuristic drama set in 2063 when society has crumbled and Nick Cage finds himself embroiled in gladiatorial fights with himself on TV's number one rated show. There's a little boy in it, I'm not sure why.
Confirm listener Becky.
Wow. Why not?
Nick Picks, a film for those who fidget. Nicolas Cage wanders around picking things from fruit to labels on beer bottles, etc.
Very, very nice.
Slightly lacking in plot at this stage, but it could work.
Yeah, no, we just need a plot and then that'll work.
Yeah.
Andy on the M3. What about Nicolas Cage, Home Base Beige? A fly-on-the-wall documentary about Nicolas Cage working in a home base paint-mixing aisle. I think that's terrific.
Terrific.
I'm on board.
That's good. Random Roy in Croydon.
Yeah.
St. Nicolas Caged. Nick leads an expedition to capture Santa.
Right, fair enough. How about Bird Cage? Nicolas Cage tucks his gentleman's agreements between his legs to try and pass as a lady. Oh, that's great, Birdcage. I might have a job explaining that to him tomorrow.
Yeah.
I have reworded that using the phrase gentleman's agreements. I think we all know. Matt.
Or Nicolas Cage,
yeah,
with K. Nicolas Caged Beauties parade around naked from Ash.
Marek from Wimbledon. How about a cheaper version? That's what we're looking for, cheaper versions of Cage Fighter. where Nicolas Cage goes around pubs and starts fights in the car park. I think we can probably make that happen after the show tomorrow. That's what I reckon. Cage's stage rage from Neil. Nick reviews West End shows if they displease him.
Good.
He will unleash his intellectual and physical rage upon the cast. Confirm, listener Ben, what is yours?
How about Nicolas Cage? An educational documentary. Nicolas Cage goes around Euthanasia, documenting the history of various herbs.
Yes, Nicolas yes. Sage. Also using Sage from Lucy. Nicolas Cage cooks solely with sage. Mr. Cage takes the world through recipes that have to include the much underrated and maligned herb, sage. I think that's absolutely terrific. And Helen says, Nicolas Caged birds. Nicholas embarks on a journey of educating go-go dancers in keeping caged and endangered birds as a way of providing the dancers, brackets also caged birds, she says, with alternative and more fulfilling career paths. Helen, you are now a confirmed listener. That's great. Listen, we got to. Which one do you think we should pick for Cage tomorrow? Yeah. Bird cage might be a hard sell.
Yeah.
I might have to explain the whole gentleman's agreements thing, but it'll be absolutely fine.
XFM.
Good morning, you with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, and Matthew Dyson, describe the man to your immediate left.
We saw him on Lorraine yesterday.
We did.
Today he is here.
Yes.
It's Noel Fielding.
Noel Fielding, everybody! Hi, Noel, how's it going?
Hello.
We did, you were kind of on the show yesterday because we were watching Lorraine on mute, and it was a very odd moment because you were there and you kind of, your cowboy hat on a brightly lit set, drinking from a polka dot mug, and then they went to a clip of, a talk. Talking open wound, which is probably the first time that's been on.
Can I just say for the record, I asked for a black mug.
Right, okay, yeah, more in keeping. Yeah, exactly. I think it was the first moment I've seen something like that happen on Lorraine. It was made all the odder by having no sound up.
The talking gash.
Yeah, exactly. One of the many characters in the brilliant Noel Fielding's luxury comedy, which starts tonight. How excited are you?
Really excited, actually. I'm really proud of it. It's taken so long, and the guy that I'm working with is an animator. So
Nigel.
He's used to doing things for 2 years because animation, pretty much you don't get to see anyone, you're just stuck in a cave just forever. But this show's taken me so long.
You're not used to doing anything for more than sort of 20 minutes.
No. It's a bit like when we did the radio show, actually.
Yeah, I should say, I've worked with Noel in the past, exactly.
You produced our radio show, and that was a similar thing because we made it ourselves and we sort of locked ourselves away. That was really intricate, and this is a sort of similar thing.
And I imagine, like you said, long edits, but also working with an animator because there's so many levels to this show, so many different things that are happening and little visual jokes, and then...
It's really good to write with animators, actually, because you can just say, can we have a knife wound on someone's arm? Can it talk to me? And you can go, we can do that. Yeah. And, sometimes you go, can we have a guy, his bottom half's a drill, and he drills through the earth? And you go, how am I going to do that? But then he'll sort of say, you can have a car come out of someone's fringe, and he'll go, yeah, that's fine, that's easy. And then when I say, can someone drill through the earth, he goes, no, you're stupid.
That's crazy.
Well, how am I supposed to know the levels?
That character didn't make it, the half-drill man. I happen to know that he was
mistake.
The human mistake, exactly. And the human mistake, his face is a croissant, is that right?
This is
like a DVD director's cut of Noel's show on tonight. You won't see the human mistake. Yeah. But he used to drill through... The Earth's core?
Yeah, and just appear, pop up at award ceremonies, collect awards, and then do a really inappropriate speech and appall the entire audience, and then just drill through and then turn up again at, Sports Personality of the Year.
And then the whole audience would end up vomiting.
Yeah, because his speech was so horrific.
The power of his speech.
And the last line in that scene always has to be, oh, the human mistake.
But you were let down by the animator in that sense, who couldn't see...
He's on it. He's all over it now.
Is he?
He wants to have a go.
Well,
the thing is with Nige is what's great about him is you offer up an idea and he's like, I can't do that. And then 2 weeks later he goes, I might be able to do that. And then a week later he goes, I've done some tests. I think we can do that.
He's done some tests.
Yeah, he's already done some tests.
I like it when comedy comes out, those little moments like it from real life. Like one of the first jokes you ever wrote with Julian when you were doing the Boosh was, did he come round your house?
Yeah.
And what?
It's the first time, actually, he came around and he gave me a lift home. That's when June used to drive, which I used to find
hilarious. I can't imagine that.
No. I mean, surely you shouldn't be on the roads now. He's got too many things going on in his head. but he gave me a lift home and I said, you know that once you come in here, you can never leave. And he went, yeah, fine. I haven't got much on. Like, yeah, but you can never leave. And he went, yeah, no, I'm cool with that. I haven't really got anything, so I still like to come in.
And that made it into into the bush.
Yeah. That was our first joke, and I thought, yeah, we could probably write together. Because he phoned me up and said, do you want to write the new goodies? Yeah, and I just thought that was a spot-on reference, because if he'd have said, you know, that's not another comedy show, I would have just slammed the phone down.
Yeah, absolutely. Brush strokes.
Yeah. That's no, in hindsight, I think what we made was closer to brush strokes.
Very much the new Cal Harriman sitting with me. XFM. Matt went to Paris with Steve yesterday to meet Liam Neeson. And I've heard just bits of the audio that you brought back, Matt. And it doesn't sound like conversation was flowing, doesn't it? You know, I mean, we'll edit it together and it'll sound awesome. But, I mean, it sounds a little bit awkward at some
points. There are a couple of awkward moments, yeah.
There's one moment in particular, Matt, that I think we'll use in a couple of minutes' time. But it was when you sat there. And Liam is, he's quite intense, isn't he? Yeah. Quite an intense man. Big hands,
deep,
I imagine.
Gravelly voice,
all those things.
Yeah.
And then he told you a joke.
Wow, yeah.
He told you a joke.
I think it was a joke. Oh, I wasn't really sure.
It was a joke. I think it was a joke. You didn't know whether to laugh or not, or you didn't know whether the joke had finished. You didn't quite get the joke. You weren't sure whether, you know, what reaction to go with. This is the reaction you went with.
How do you make God laugh? You tell him your plans.
Yeah, it was like a middle ground. If it's funny, yeah, that's a laugh. If it's serious, I wasn't really laughing.
Yeah, it's one of those it's one of those laughs. Let's hear it again. It's one of those laughs that says food for thought. Food for thought, Liam. Yeah, good point, well made.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Matt Dyson. You know, this is the home of the A-listers, this programme, isn't it? How often would you say, I get properly excited, though, when we have an A-lister in?
This is the most excited I've ever seen you. We're all psyched about this.
I was pacing up and down the studio, wasn't I? Yeah. I didn't know whether to put my scarf on or leave it off. I went with off.
I think you made the right decision.
I think so. Nicolas Cage is here, everybody.
Oh, thank you.
How are you, Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. I'm always happy to come back to England and to London in particular.
London in particular, yeah. On this marvellous day of weather that we've arranged specially for you.
Oh, I like a bit of mist, you know, I like a bit of poetic gloom.
Yeah, exactly. You've got a voice that can deliver lines like that extraordinarily. Oh. Well, the poetic gloom of London.
Oh, thank you.
Sounds romantic and good. A moment ago, off air, I asked Nicolas whether he, you know, lives in LA and is used to more the sunshine, and Nicolas replied with a sentence I was not expecting, where he revealed exactly where it is. Well, not exactly where he lives, it's more of an area. Are you willing to share where that is?
Believe it or not, I live in the Bermuda Triangle.
He lives in the Bermuda Triangle.
Right.
And me and Matt, we exchanged a quick glance. We're thinking, well, is he sick? Does he really live in the Bermuda Triangle?
I really do, but it's actually not as exotic as it sounds. It's actually part of the Commonwealth of England. It's the Bahamas. Yeah. See, the Bermuda Triangle is Miami, Bahamas, but it sounds better if I say Bermuda Triangle.
It does sound very mysterious.
That's the mistake.
And one of our listeners, a guy called Paul, he's got a brother who bought your castle that you sold in Somerset.
Really?
How good is that? So this guy lives in the Bermuda Triangle and owns stately homes across Britain.
Well, not so much anymore, I must admit. I do like being here. I have a little cottage in Somerset, but the taxes are quite high here, as I'm sure you know.
We're
so
aware.
I'm only here part-time.
Nicolas, we're here to talk about your great new film, Ghost Rider 2, Spirit of Vengeance. It's all about Johnny Blaze, a former motorcycle stuntman who has sold his soul to the devil.
That's right.
It's based on a true story.
Well, in some ways.
And how do you prepare for a role like that when you're thinking, right, it's Tuesday, on Wednesday I'm going to be an on-fire skeleton?
Well, you know what? I did play Ghost Rider in this one. In the Ghost Rider movie, I was only Blaze. In this one, I'm both Blaze and the Ghost Rider.
Oh, so
on those days, when I was the Ghost Rider, I would paint my face to look like a skull with black and white paint, so I looked like an Afro-Caribbean or Afro-New Orleanian voodoo icon by the name of Baron Samedi. You may have seen him in one of the Bond movies.
Okay, yeah.
And I would walk on the set with that makeup on and with black contact lenses in my eyes, and I wouldn't say a word to anybody. And it created this aura of fear in the other actors, which only inspired me far more to believe I was the Ghost Rider.
Well, that's great when you're shooting in the morning, but what about lunchtime in the canteen?
It was full time. 24 hours, but at least a good 14 to 15 hours of the day.
And were you not tempted to just keep that on in the evenings as well, going home, hanging out with your pals?
I was not.
No.
I was not.
It's full on. I mean, it never lets up. There's only one bit where it lets up, where you're in a restaurant and you're drinking a lot of water from a jug, and then it's back on. It's more explosions, more. Yeah. You're on the back of a truck urinating fire.
Yes, you have to rehydrate when you do things like urinate fire.
Just one of many tips Nicholas will be giving the XFM listeners this morning. Always rehydrate if you are intending to urinate fire. We are You said something controversial a little earlier, Dave, that caused a rift in the studio.
Yeah, without even realising.
You wondered out loud whether Lassie was a gentleman dog or a lady dog.
I did.
And it was divided immediately. Yeah. I applied logic to the problem, as did Matt Dyson, saying Lassie, of course, means girl, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a famous Scottish phrase.
Yeah, but then Phil pipes up and went, well, he's not in Scotland, is he? He's not in Scotland. But then I said, well, if it's called Senorita, it doesn't have to be in Spain for that to be a feminine name, does it? What do you think, Phil? I mean, is Lassie a gentleman or a lady?
I've always thought Lassie was a gentleman.
I'd always thought Lassie was a gentleman until I applied logic.
I hadn't really thought about it before, but yeah, Lassie.
Lassie. Feminine name. All the other, no wonder he was always on his own. All the other dogs making fun of him. Lassie. But what research have you done there?
Well, I mean, there's mixed stuff online about it. Lassie Web, the number one place for Lassie
Web, yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Talks about Lassie as a she. The thing is, the character was often played by male dogs, but the character from the seminal novel by Eric Knight was a female dog.
So there's
a lot of cross-dressing that's been going on.
So maybe, Phil, that's what confused you, that you had seen a feminine-looking Lassie.
Wouldn't be the first time I've been confused.
Really? Never go to Thailand. Never go to Thailand, Phil. That's my tip for you. So we don't know. Well, this comes hot on the heels of the controversy yesterday after Postman Pat turned out to have a six-year-old son called Julian Clifton. Sounds like I'm talking about like a front-page splash in the Sun or something, like an expose. But it was just a fact, wasn't it?
These are the hot topics people are talking about.
This is why people tune into XFM. So listen, it's lost its edge, isn't it? We are XFM! Our guest this morning is the wonderful Noel Fielding. Tell me about some of the things that are in Noel Fielding's luxury comedy. I've seen it, I love it. There's a stingray, there's a talking chocolate finger. Yeah. How does this come about?
I don't want to be limited to just playing men. You know? That gets a bit boring.
Yeah, confectionery is the new thing.
I like the idea that you can have a chocolate finger in the show. But he's also a games teacher and he was in the war. He's got shell shock. Right. And he talks to the children in quite an inappropriate way, but his wife died 5 years ago, so he puts on a dress and plays swing ball in the garden because they used to play tennis together, so it's quite poignant.
Yeah, it's very poignant.
But it sucks you in, but then you think, hang on a minute, it's a chocolate finger.
Yeah.
What's happening? I think it's nice. I mean, I think if, say, like, Rob Brydon did that character, and he wasn't a chocolate finger, people would go, wow, that's really poignant. You know, his wife died, he wears her dress on the anniversary of her death, and... But because he's a chocolate finger, people go, oh, your show's mental. You're mental.
I've said this to you before, but part of the joy of your job, I think, would be naming some of the characters. Who are some of the characters?
It's called Roy Circle.
Roy Circle, character. Exactly, yeah. So that must just be fun, and you know exactly when the name is correct. Yeah. Just before you walked in, I wrote down some names on here. I'd like you to give me a thumbnail picture of who these characters are for Series 2, if that's on the cards. Poppy Boom Boom, who's that?
I don't know. Poppy Boom Boom.
Poppy Boom
Oh, are you
Boom.
Making these names?
I am.
Oh, right. I thought these were characters from my shows.
No, you'd know that.
I remember that. Boom Boom. I remember that. Poppy Boom Boom sounds like someone who, you know, those little children's trampolines, who carries one of those around with her, unpacks it, and she's just in everyday life, you know, she's having a meeting or she's on a being interviewed, and then she just gets that out and starts jumping up and down.
Great, I'm
doesn't
sold.
Doesn't say anything about it, and people find it quite weird, but they don't, you know, it's Poppy Boom Boom.
Yeah, Minty Clitheroe? Who's Minty?
See, Minty Clitheroe is a sort of lozenge who you break open and a gas comes out. A form a shape. Look, he can take any shape, really.
Clitheroe.
Yeah,
that's what he can do.
Clitheroe is a classic.
Moomin boobs.
Moomin boobs.
Yeah.
Moomin boobs is probably just, you know, like a, it's like a ghost, like one of those Scooby-Doo ghosts.
Yeah.
It's a sheet, basically, with holes.
Yeah.
For eyes.
Nice.
He likes people to chase him in the forest, but when you actually grab hold of him, you realise there's nothing in the sheet, and you think, wow, how's he doing it? He's not actually a man dressed as a ghost.
Food for thought.
He might be a ghost wearing a pantomime ghost costume.
Right.
He's a traditional ghost versus, you know, mixed in with an authentic ghost.
I see. Traditional and contemporary, the mix of the two spirits. And finally, Robert.
I can't do anything with that.
We XFM. For postcode king, that of course refers to Kitro. So we will test the mettle of someone randomly, very very shortly. Someone here says he's been a postman, man and boy. Postman Pat, he calls himself. Who knows? Because yeah, because Postman Pat has got a son. He's got a son. You don't believe me, Mellis?
No, he's not.
Postman Pat has a son. He does.
Hold on.
When was the last time you watched Postman Pat?
Well, a few years ago.
Right.
But he didn't have a son.
A lot can happen in a few years.
He had a cat.
Yeah, he's got a cat.
Yeah.
Jess.
Jess the cat.
Yeah, Jess the cat. He spends a lot more time with Jess than he does with his own son, which has always concerned me. No, his son is Julian. I laughed as well. I thought, there's no way. I mean, you know, why Julian? Of all the names, Postman Pat. I don't think Postman Pat would call his son Julian. I think Julian's a bit highfalutin.
Whoa.
Pat's like a normal, down-to-earth guy. Now he's got a Julian. And I like the name Julian. I just think that not the Pat I know.
He's
would have done that. Mrs. Him. Pat must have chosen that name, which means that Pat is very weak.
You're winding me up.
I swear to you, I'm not having this. Postman Pat has got a son called Julian.
Phil.
And I don't like it either.
I'm going to
okay? It should be an Eric, you know, a Paul that would fit, something like that. You don't believe me, do you?
There would have been a spin-off series by now.
I'm telling you, Postman Pat has got a son called Julian. Anyway, we'll play Postcode King.
He does.
Huh?
He does.
No, he doesn't.
Boom.
He does.
Julian Clifton.
Julian Clifton.
Six-year-old school child and the only known child of Postman Pat.
He's the only known son that Post... Because Pat had a few wild years. You know, university, things like that, Postman's College. But Julian... What's his name? Julian Clifton.
Clifton.
Yeah, Julian, six-year-old Julian Clifton.
Wow, yeah. Wow.
You're weird for knowing that.
I have a son.
XFM.
The XFM Breakfast Show is proud to welcome Nicolas Cage to the show. Nicolas, a little while ago, you became something of a cult figure on this programme. After a news story appeared, which we investigated within the broadcast, which our listeners took to their hearts, and it would be good to put this rumour to bed. And the rumour is that you, every 80 to 100 years, regenerate as someone else. And that you are therefore a member of the undead. Now, this seemed to me at first to be rather unlikely. And we were talking about it going, is it likely? It doesn't sound very likely. You don't hear about it very much. And it would seem strange that you chose, you know, film star as a thing if you wanted to keep it on the quiet. But here is a picture that was making the rounds a while ago of you during the Civil War era.
Right.
Now, I have seen this,
yes. It's pretty good. It's a slightly slowed down version of me,
right?
If I may be polite.
Yeah.
But I must confess, while I'd like to keep it a mystery, because
yeah.
I think mysteries are always more fun, I don't drink blood.
I see, all right. Well, you went straight to vampire there. I didn't mention vampire. It seems strange you know a bit too much about this.
Well, I know quite a bit about it, because there's been some talk that as a result of my alleged immortality that I was a vampire.
Well, I mean, you're dancing around it, but this isn't a stern denial as yet. You're using flowery language to distract us, but you're not saying you're not a member of the undead, and I find that concerning.
Well, it's always best to keep things flowery.
Again, he's not denying it.
He's not denying it.
This is not... Matt, you're a journalist. I mean, we couldn't get away with that, could we, if that was a confirmation? If you flip that over as well, you'll see your good friend... John Travolta.
Yes,
also.
Yes. That one's quite excellent.
So you are saying, for the record, that you are not a member of the undead, but you are not speaking on behalf of Travolta.
Well, I have no idea what John gets up to on his hours between filming.
But all I
have to say is, when I look in the mirror, I see my reflection and I don't drink blood.
Okay. Fair enough. Some of our listeners were getting in touch as well. This is something that they've done in the past, where they suggest vehicles that you might like to... to get involved with after Ghost Rider 2 completes its course.
All right.
Someone was saying, how about Nicolas Sage, which could be a nice little thing for you, an educational documentary series involving Nick travelling around Europe and Asia, documenting the history of various herbs. That was Ben in Basildon. I don't know if that's something...
I think it's wonderful. In fact, my father was going to make a magazine called Sage for older people to have spout proverbs and such for younger people to be stimulated by.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
A proverbs magazine.
Why not?
Was it? I mean, you know...
Otherwise, it wouldn't be called Sage.
No, absolutely. I don't want to be impolite, but was it hard to find funding?
I didn't really go out and ask for it. Maybe now I will.
Maybe now he will. Nicholas, thank you so much
for
coming by
me.
The XFM Breakfast Show today. Nicholas, I will leave the last word with you.
Well, I just want to say thanks to all the folks here in the City of London for listening, and have a lovely day.
Nicholas Cage, everybody!
XFM.
Do you want to know something, Matthew Dyson? The text that we got a little bit earlier on from someone giving us some good news. They were talking about being regressed, weren't they? And they were saying that they were one of the few people who didn't turn out to be Cleopatra or Napoleon or Hitler. Well, I'd probably keep that quiet, wouldn't you, if you found that out. Did you find out where you were? No. Very sketchy details. I think so. But I've been regressed. Someone regressed me.
Really?
Or tried to.
Yeah.
I was filming this thing for a TV thing, and this lady seemed very certain that she could regress me back to a previous life, right? And so I had to sit there, and I sat there with my eyes closed for about 10 minutes. Felt like hours. Not because I'd been regressed or something, but because it wasn't working. And I was feeling for her, you know, because all I could think was, this isn't working. But then at some point, she decided that she had regressed me and that I'd gone into some deep sleep, and I hadn't. I was very aware of everything that was going on. Very aware there's a camera 2 inches from my face, that this lady was talking, really hoping that this was working. But I had to go with it, and I had to kind of give her answers. I didn't want her to feel bad or look bad, and so she's kind of saying to me, and now, where are you? And I'm going, I don't know where I am. Because, you know, I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I did. I was outside Swindon somewhere, technically. But in this regressed state that she thought I was in, and she was going... How old are you? And I thought, I'm going to have to go with it. And I just was sort of going, I'm a little boy, sort of like that. And she's going, okay, what are you wearing? And I was going, white thing. And she's going, okay, now I want you to look down and imagine you've got something in your hands. What's in your hands? And I just go, a vase? You know, I'm almost asking, any of these correct? Any of these working? Good for you? Yeah. And she's going, what colour is the vase? And I'm going, it's blue. And so all that happened was, I said I was a little boy with a blue vase, and she extrapolated that out when I came to a second later, and told me that I was a little Egyptian boy.
Right.
Possibly in the court, again, of Cleopatra. That was unclear. But it was a long time ago. A long time ago. And she was going, you did so well. You did so well. Thinking all I did was sit there and say, saw a blue vase. And as I leave, word has spread throughout this community of people who are into this stuff. And they're all massively impressed with me, and they want to sit down and have tea with me and cake with me, and they're going, I can't remember the lady's name, but let's say it was like Siobhan or something. It's probably something like Siobhan. Siobhan said you went very far back. She said no one's gone that far back before. I'm thinking, what? No one's got the imagination to say they saw a blue vase. It's amazing. Would you be regressed ever?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind giving it a go. But I'm quite sceptical like yourself.
Really?
Yeah.
I reckon you'd be like a great sort of, I don't know, like a sort of, I can't say what I was going to say there. But, I will. Because I like to imagine your bright clothes. Like a brightly coloured pimp in 1950s San Francisco.
Right, yeah.
I think that would be a terrific look for you, and one that we should investigate on the show.
Yeah, that resonates.
Does it?
Yeah.
Imagine something is in your hands now. Is it a blue vase?
It's an afro comb.
XFM. A lot of accusations flying around, aren't there, Dave and Matt, about how we treat program associate Steve?
Yeah.
A lot of accusations. Mm. A lot of people need to be careful about what they say, you know, in this day and age, in terms of slander, things like that.
Just they don't know.
They don't know. Just so happens there's a lot of cupboards, a lot of cupboards in this studio, and he's a little bit clumsy, you know. He's no Billy Elliot, is what we're saying. So if a young man appears, you know, bruised, why think immediately of Matt? Got nothing to do with him. No. And, you know, and this is nothing to do with why we gave Steve this treat. Just to be clear, this was not to silence Steve. But we sent him to Paris this weekend. Sent him to Paris with you, Matt, to go and interview the renowned film actor, Liam Neeson. And so you took Steve away for the weekend.
Yes, yeah, thanks for that.
Oh, Steve, you know, we can just about hear you in the background there. Did you have a nice time?
Yeah, it was nice, yeah.
It was nice, yeah. You recorded for us a brief audio diary of your trip to see Liam Neeson. So let us travel now to Paris.
XFM présente un voyage sonore. Un journal intime auditif avec notre journaliste extraordinaire Matt Dyson et son fidèle associé de la prod Steve. En entretien avec l'acteur Liam Neeson. Un dimanche à Paris. Dimanche matin, 8h29.
Still on the train now, just there. There's a croque monsieur. Just a croque monsieur just by the side of the track. Can you see it, Steve?
No, I can't see it. Where is it?
Oh, wait a minute. Just got a text message.
Oh, I was thinking that, you know, this could be our little break. So, like, we just turn our phones off and put them away somewhere and then no distractions, that kind of thing, yeah.
All right, yeah, I suppose, okay, turn it off.
I'll take that. I'll just put it in here. And then, because then, you know, we don't want to be texting, like, your fiancé or anything. You know, just keep it just me and you. Be nice. You know, I've been looking forward to it.
Oh. Dimanche matin, 10h15.
Matt, what's a baguette?
Well, Steve, it's a long, thin loaf of French bread, commonly made by a basic lean dough.
Oh, wow. So, how do you distinguish that from other bread?
It's a very rustic bread. Its length is the main distinguishing feature. Also, it's crisp crust.
Oh. You're brilliant, Matt.
Dimanche soir, 16h23.
And yeah, that's Pepe Le Pew's old bowl that used to drink red wine from.
Oh.
Yeah, and there's the Eiffel Tower, Steve. Check it out in all its glory.
Oh, what is the Eiffel Tower? So,
you ask a lot of questions, don't you, Steve?
I'm just keen. I just want to learn about the radio industry.
Well, I mean, the Eiffel Tower isn't strictly related to the commercial radio industry in the UK.
So are you saying that you don't know?
I mean, no, I know a lot about France, about Paris. I mean,
well,
I'm an expert.
It kind of seems like you don't.
Well, okay. For instance, the average diameter of a baguette is exactly 6 centimeters. So.
Oh, I wasn't asking about baguettes. So. I was asking about the Eiffel Scraper. It's weird how you keep talking about baguettes.
Dimanche soir, 22h31.
Matt, imagine a baguette you could hollow out.
Go to sleep, Steve. It's been a long night in Paris.
Oh, okay, Matt. Night, Matt.
Night, little Steve.
Matt?
What?
You know these bunk beds?
Yeah.
Aren't we supposed to be in separate beds?
No, Steve. Night, sweet prince.
Night, big daddy.
How lovely, what a lovely time you had. Yeah. What a lovely time you had. Get us some coffee, Steve.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
With Mini. Makes sense. To see why, search Mini offers.
It is time to do a pause for thought. And if you're aware of this little feature, I don't really need to say anything. Suffice to say, it is Paul-based.
Yeah.
But today's twist, Matthew, today's twist is a new member of the Brotherhood. But she's a lady.
Oh,
what?
Whoa, hang about.
Have we gone stark staring crazy, Dave?
Hold your horses.
Well, exactly. I need to cool my jets. Let's talk to her. Is it Claudia?
It is.
Claudia, are you there?
Hello.
Now,
hello.
Claudia, what the heck's going on here? Because not only are you not a Paul, you're a Claudia.
I know, indeed. I feel privileged to even be considered for this very prestigious role.
Well, exactly.
But I feel that, you know, my close proximity to so many Pauls and Paulers,
yeah.
And in this day and age, I feel like maybe you need to kind of widen the net and you know, be a bit less, sort of, a bit more gender-friendly.
I think you're right, you know, Claudia. And I think that if you can say one thing about the Brotherhood of Pauls, is that while steeped in tradition, it's a very progressive movement, isn't it? It's quite modern.
It is indeed, yeah. Contemporary.
They support women having the vote, don't they? What did you say, Claudia?
I said contemporaneous, one might say.
Wow, boom, straight in. You've just earned your place in that brotherhood. So what's happening? Why are you surrounded by Pauls and Paulers?
I am surrounded by Pauls and Paulers due to the fact that my future father-in-law, who's a very lovely man, yeah. And I hope won't be the least bit offended about me joining him by without consent to the gaggle of Pauls. his name is Paul, Paul Crofton.
Yeah.
His wife is Paula.
Ooh. Paul and Paula, lovely.
And a Paula. So Paul is married to Paula, and Paula's best friend is also called Paula.
Oh, my Lord.
They're all over the place.
Well, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, it's like a Paul squared, almost. And if only they could have completed the... I mean, what's your husband's name to be?
Well, his name's Oliver, so he lets the side down somewhat.
Mm. Right. That's dreadful. Well, I blame Paul and Paula, really. They could have completed the triumvirate, but chose not to. Never mind. Well, you've got all these Pauls and Paulas around you, so you should, seeing as you're marrying into this family, I guess we could call you like a Paulette. Like a miniature Paul in some ways. You know, like a kitchenette is a small kitchen. You're a Paulette because you're not technically a Paul, but you are within the Paul Brotherhood. Does that make sense?
Mate, it sounds wonderful. I have to say, when I woke up this morning, I had no idea what was in store for me, that I was to be a future Paulette within the space of 2 hours.
Yeah, nor that you'd be broadcasting the word contemporaneous to the nation. Excellent work. Well, listen, let's welcome you properly into the Brotherhood, and let us get today's Paulers for Thought.
What is a Paul? Is it a feeling? Is it a state of mind? A language? Or a Baltic state? Is it all these things? And yet, is it none? And yet, it is both, but not. Paul is, as Paul does, and always, and never will, and won't be, or will be. Who is? Are we? It's hard to know.
Well done. A Paulette for thought there. A Paula for thought.
I think the fact that I made that up on the spot as well, you know.
Claudia, welcome along. We are XFM.
Thank you very much. It's an honour.
We are XFM.
So are we ready, everyone in the studio? We've all in our uniforms, our quiz face uniforms. Matt, you've got the one-piece bodysuit with the armband. Yeah. Phil, you're dressed as Il Tigre Muerte this morning, the Tiger of Death. Dave's wearing nothing, what is that? Just a pair of little blue Speedos?
Yeah.
Great, it's a good look, strong look.
Made out of silk.
Is that for quiz face or is that?
No, it's for quiz face.
Okay.
You would have noticed if I was wearing this for the whole show.
I guess so. And I, of course, I'm in my quiz pod. So, let's do it. Confirmed listener Hannah, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well also. Where are you from?
Eastern Europe, Belarus, if you ever heard about this country.
From Belarus, did you say?
Yep.
Excellent work. Quizface has spread, of course, to our Eastern European cousins, and we look forward to playing this. So listen, you should know the rules by now. Hannah, today's Quizface is Queemail.
Queemail.
So, Hannah.
Yep.
As usual, the format speaks for itself. You're back from holiday, and it's 2 minutes before your first meeting of the day. Gary's been on your back about the new tidy inbox policy, and it's 2 minutes before Jeff from IT with the Limp Bizkit t-shirts starts deleting. You need to move swiftly through your inbox. What is spam, and what's to be saved? Firstly, you've just got back from holiday. Where were you on holiday?
Where was I? Could you please repeat? Because I'm at work, I couldn't hear you. I'm
absolutely.
Sorry.
Where have you just been on holiday?
Yeah.
Where?
Where? Yeah. I haven't been on holiday for a long time.
Okay. The character you're playing. Where has that character been on holiday? Name a country.
Just say a country.
Oh, any country. France. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
France. Correct. That is correct. Let's play Quinbox.
Quinbox.
Okay, Hannah, we're delving into your Quinbox. Let's take...
I didn't realize that's wrong.
Okay. This is...
Matt, stop it.
Let's... Oh, no, that's terrible. It's so... Oh, man, let's just crack on. It's an unfamiliar name. Hannah, the sender of this email is Nelson Betonagon, son of the Nigerian Minister of Defence, toppled by a rogue dictator. Matt, don't just walk over there. Come back. Hannah, is that spam, or will you save that email?
It's spam.
You're saying it's spam? That's incorrect. He's a very good friend of your father. You've just lost $500 million. Next one, please. It's a sender. Mackenzie Laurie Bon Bon Barba III. Spam or save, Hannah? Spam or save?
Spam.
You're saying spam? Incorrect. No, she's actually the head of the Spanish lottery, which you did not enter, but you have now won. You've just lost another $500 million. Another sender. Happy save, Grace. The subject line is, with this grand potion, make your man simper lively. Is that spam or save?
My man? It's spam, then.
You're saying spam? No, I'm afraid Happy Save, Grace, is your mother. No. Let's blow the whistle. Okay, we've done that. Let's continue. Bippy Brewster Mbebe.
Sorry?
Bippy Mbebe.
What is it?
Very good. That was actually a trick question. I was not asking you for an answer. I was just saying a name. But I must dock you 5 minutes, which means we have to go back to before the quiz started.
Okay.
Are you happy to do that?
Uh-huh.
That's incorrect. Let's blow the whistle. Okay, it's now 5 minutes before the quiz. Sorry?
Stop laughing back on the background.
Okay, it's 5 minutes before the quiz. You're in the car park with Gary. He's talking about his clean inbox policy. There is one thing you can do to shut Gary up. You can turn your radio up, because there's one phrase, Hannah, guaranteed to silence him. Complete the following phrase. We are...
XFM.
She's done it!
She's done it!
Oh. I was worried.
Wow.
I was worried. Hannah, that was a very difficult one. I'll be honest, even I didn't understand the rules there for a brief moment in time. I'm sorry about the minor breakdown we had at the beginning there. It was due to a phrase I did not realise came out wrong and did appear rude, and it was not supposed to. So I apologise for that, Hannah.
We are
XFL. So I noticed, Matt, you and you and program associate Steve.
Yeah.
Come a lot closer. You just picked up the phone there while we were listening to Arcade Fire, and you didn't say, hey, Steve. You went, Stevie, like that. And then you asked him to source some music for you. It's like you had a direct private line.
Yeah, we really bonded in Paris,
Great. He's a fantastic fella. He asks a lot of questions. He's very keen to learn, isn't he?
Inquisitive, yeah.
Very inquisitive about the radio industry, and we're here in the studio, and he'll be going, what's that? And that's a keyboard. What's this? What is that? That's a mouse. You use the control there. It's, look, that's amazing. The arrows going around. All things like that. And it must a great honour and a privilege for you, Matt, to be able to impart a lot of your wisdom.
Yeah, it really was.
Let's enjoy another moment of that.
Matt, do they have radio in France?
Yes, I believe they do, Steve, that's right, yeah.
So is it like English radio, or...?
They speak French.
On the radio?
Yeah.
How do people understand it?
Because they also speak French.
Oh, right.
Oh. Were you laughing at the arrow thing? Is that what you're laughing at?
Yeah.
It's nice. Following it round like a, if you use a laser on the floor. Yeah. A kitten grabbing at it.
We are
XFL! So shall we get the good news in the studio? I say yes. That's my vote. Let's begin this morning with the news pouncer, Matt.
Good news, guys. On our little sojourn to Paris yesterday for a chat with rugged, gravelly-voiced action hero Liam Neeson, I successfully taught young programme associate Steve how to buy a chocolate crepe. with cream from a vendor at the Eiffel Tower, and how to and how to ask for directions for the tourist information centre using my basic grasp of GCSE French.
Go on.
The young scamp. Oh, où est le syndicat d'initiative?
Very nice.
The young scamp didn't thank me though, seeming to be more impressed by the preponderance of scooters in the French capital with two front wheels.
Must have been magical for him.
That's all he talked about.
Thank you, News Pouncer. Sportnut Andy.
Well, I'm just pleased I've got some money in my pocket because this porridge you've just given me, Danny, is like polyfiller.
Well, that sounds like I brought it from home in my pocket. It was sent to us by the good people at a high street bakery this morning. Yeah, I know who it is. You're pointing at the logo. I'm just not saying it. But we thank them for their new style pot General noodle Austin. Porridge, is what I'm calling it.
Yeah, it's not great.
Jock Jockey, Dave.
Good news, guys. My sister's 30th birthday celebrations in the conference hall went swimmingly. And although there were no spreadsheets or pie charts, as Danny predicted last week, there was an out-of-bounds hot tub on the roof terrace.
Wow.
Now, after several pints of lager and a couple of glasses of wine, this tempting treat became very much inbounds for me as I stripped down and plunged in. The bad news being, no one actually followed me in, meaning this spontaneous tomfoolery became very awkward very quickly.
Oh, he's a lonely boy. Good news, guys. My infant son has not really been exposed to much sugar in his young life, and so has never seen the need for it. Shooing sweet treats in favour of healthy, vitamin-packed vegetables like peas and sweet corn and broccoli. Until yesterday, when he attended a birthday party and wolfed down more cake than any human has ever managed before. He began spinning around and bowling around the living room like someone had given an Ewok Red Bull and then thrown it through my window. As his mother attempted to give him peas for dinner last night, the sugar crash began, and he fixed us with a stare of soulful anger and confused hurt, merely shouting, "More cake! More cake! More cake! More cake!" Good news is, I think we've entered a new and exciting period of his life, which won't affect our enjoyment of life one bit.
We are XFM.
We are about to do Guest Who. This is where Dave lines up someone for me to talk to. I don't know who it is. I don't know what the story is, what the relevance is. I know that we have probably talked about them or the story at some point in the last week or so. Dave, you've lined someone up.
I have.
First question, is it Nicolas Cage?
It's not Nicolas Cage. We did try to get him, but I think he's left the building.
Has he?
Yeah.
That would have been a great one. Is it Will.i.am?
It's not William, no.
So, I'm narrowing it down one person by one person. We've got 6 billion to go of the 6 or 7 billion, actually, that could be on the planet. I've got 60 seconds to guess who it might be. Let's do it. Guess who? Why don't you start the clock now? Caller, are you there?
I am indeed.
Hello, caller?
Hello, yes, I am here.
It's a lady caller. And lady caller, are you in the United Kingdom?
Yes, I am.
Are you in London?
No.
Outside of London. What stories have we done? There's a lot. Is this a news story?
Yes.
It's a news story. Is it a story that involves a survey of some kind?
No.
Are you a celebrity?
No.
Have we met?
No.
Does it involve an animal?
No.
Blimey. does it involve you?
Yes.
As in, you're the star of the story. Matt, help me out here.
Does it involve any kind of animal, vegetable or mineral?
Oh. Yes. Yes, it does. I thought it would. I've failed. Sometimes I nail it, sometimes I fail miserably. Caller, on this occasion, I'm afraid I failed to guess who it might be. Would you please reveal to me who you are?
My name is Jemima Packington, and I'm the world's only asparamancer.
The asparagus lady! Oh! Brilliant booking, Dave. Jemima, how are you?
I am fine, thank you for asking, Danny.
Not at all. Now, for anyone who didn't hear, you are able to predict the future by throwing asparagus in the air.
Well, by looking at the patterns that the asparagus makes when it lands.
I see. And so you do this, is it just once a year you throw the asparagus in the air and read the asparagus?
No, I do my New Year prediction.
Ah, of course.
course.
I'll use the asparagus throughout the English asparagus season, starting with the British Asparagus Festival, 23rd of April, and it goes into June. That's my busier time because I use good, fresh Worcestershire asparagus, which is absolutely brilliant for what I do. Outside of that season, I can use imported asparagus, but the success rate on that is slightly less than 100%.
Is it? Less than 100%. That's not one. Is it when it's in season and you're using good British asparagus, do the stories tend to be British based? And then when it's out of season and you use more international asparagi, does it tend to be more global than the...
I actually did a television program for German TV during the asparagus season. They asked me various questions about European political leaders, which I was able to give them predictions, including one about Angela Merkel being a very, very, very safe pair of hands for Germany.
What was it? How did you know that the asparagus were telling you about Angela Merkel?
Because what normally happens if somebody wants to know something, they either ask the question or in this case, I had a series of photographs. Did I recognise the person? Some people I didn't. From German life, other people obviously I did.
Yes.
And we took it from there.
Wow. And how did you find out that you had this gift and that the asparagus was kind of a magical vegetable? Were you shopping and you dropped some asparagi and you looked at them and thought there's going to be a referendum?
It was about 7 or 8. We were eating asparagus, someone on the floor, and I made a very precocious remark and a prediction, a sharp intake of breath around the table, and my parents realised that maybe I had inherited a gift which a great aunt had. She used to read tea leaves. I didn't do anything with it, obviously. It wasn't, I was allowed normal childhood, didn't really think about it. But as I got a bit older, teens, 20s, you tend to look at things in a different perspective. Mm. And that's when I started up again.
Wow. And so you weren't, I mean, people weren't frightened of this power in the...
No,
that's good. Well, listen, what are the, we'll finish on this. Are there any predictions that you can give us now?
Well, you know, part of the predictions that I made, I will tell you that we're going to have a glorious, glorious golden summer and a glorious golden hall at the Olympics.
Oh, really? So we're going to win some medals and have a sunny summer?
We are going to have good weather, good medal hall, and everybody will be happy.
Everyone will be happy. Not my words, not the words of Jemima Packington, the words of the magic asparagus. Thank you so much, Jemima, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
Jemima, everybody!
Hooray!
We are
XFM.
Shall we think about what we have learnt today?
Analytics.
Yes, we shall.
Analytics.
Matthew Dyson.
Well, we've certainly had a lot of interesting callers on the show this morning. An actual postman called Pat, the owner of a blind shop in Billericay called Billericay Blinds, and a man called Dave in Stoke-on-Trent, sweating profusely while pumping some serious iron in his living room, listening to The Cult in the early hours of the morning.
Wow, we should get some modelling clay and make our own sort of Trumpton Village.
We should.
Based around the XFM listeners.
We really should.
Yeah, Dave.
Yes, during today's show, we took a number of looks back at Matt and Steve's team building trip to Paris,
yes,
with Steve asking a whole range of bizarre questions, including what is a baguette, how do French people understand French radio, and what is the Eiffel Tower?
Yes.
Matt Dyson duly shared his vast array of wisdom and knowledge with Steve, meaning the trip was a success.
Oh, that's terrific. And it's not the Eiffel Scraper, it's the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Consternation was rife, confusion abounded, bewildered faces, puzzled expressions, and the pain of rampant disbelief overwhelmed Studio 3J this morning, as I innocently mentioned that Postman Pat has a son by the name of Julian. Instant mockery followed. You've never seen the like. Questions were raised about the paternity, doubts cast, and slanderous comments thrown around as my colleagues realised maybe they never really knew Pat at all. But six-year-old Julian Clifton exists, and we all just have to deal with it. Imagine how they'll react tomorrow when I tell them the new Pat reboot also features a helicopter, and Pat has joined the SDS, the Special Delivery Service.
No. No way.
It's true.
No way.
We're gonna stop the show tomorrow and watch a full half hour of Postman Pat live.
We are.
So there you go. That was podcast number 26 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Remember, you can listen live every day from 6:30 on 104.9 FM on DAB or in your sister's car. Bye bye.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
With Mini, makes sense to see why. Search Mini offers.